This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
All right, but it's time to get together for God to fulfill His plan. Let's watch. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. Everybody say, my Father has a good plan. And He wants that plan for your life. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says God sits on His throne and He laughs. He laughs. Why is He laughing? Because He's seen the end from the beginning. We're standing here at the beginning and walking through life. And then we can't see the end. But the Father has seen the end. And He sits on the throne and He's laughing. Why is He laughing? Because He knows that the plan that He's prepared for you is intact. It's ready. And He sees how you're going to end up. Somebody say amen. His thought is not for disaster and calamity for your life. He sees you and your children full of victory. Does anybody want that victory today? The Father has that plan. And he's so confident of it, he's excited, he's joyful about it. And when everything's coming against you, you need to realize the Father's sitting on the throne and laughing. It's okay, son. It's okay, daughter. I've seen the end from the beginning. I created you. I put you together. I have a plan for you. And I didn't call you to be by yourself. Somebody say amen. Because we need to realize that God's hope and God's plans and God's future involves each other. We can't run this race alone. I'm going to say it again. You can't run this race by yourselves. Because the Christian walk is not an independent study or project. The Christian walk is a group project. Now, when I say that, some of you get a little upset. Because how many of you are in high school or college and you had a group project? Oh, how many of you hated it? Let me see your hand. Yeah, you know why? Because people like me were the dumb ones or the lazy ones, and we were going to freeload off of you while you did all the work. Oh, my profs, they knew me, and they finally got wise to me, and they says, Green, you're in charge of the group. Yeah, so that fixed that. So I've been on both sides of that, and I realized that, you know, but you know, when we got through with it, you always did better than you would have by yourselves. Now, let me share something with you. I want to say this. You cannot live the Christian life by yourself. I didn't say you couldn't be alone at times. How many of you know we need to be alone with Jesus? Amen? We need to be alone with the Father. There's times when it's just me against the world. But you know what? It's never quite true in totality, because you're never alone. God surrounds you with a cloud of witnesses, He says in the book of Hebrews, not only spiritually, but in the physical realm. God has a people for you to walk with. Say, walk with.
Walk with.
And I want to share that part with you. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Everybody say, it's a group project. We can't get there by ourselves. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope. The hope is His future for us that I was speaking about in Jeremiah 29:11. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised, hallelujah, is faithful. And let us consider, say consider, how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together. Not giving up meeting together. As some are in the habit of doing. But encouraging one another. And all the more, say all the more, as you see the day approaching. Does anybody realize that we're living in the last days? Are things getting better in the world? No, not in many cases. Now, we can pray and see the victory of God, even in our city, all through the land, and even in our nation and the world. We can see great victory. But the world as a whole is headed for destruction. And as the day approaches, you don't need to back off of welling together in unity and coming together and assembling together and leaning on one another for help. You need to do it, everybody say, all the more. But it says, consider. That means it has to be something you've thought out. It has to be your choice. It has to be your choice. To do what? Not giving up meeting together. Say it again. We're better together. God has designed us to be together. Alone is never God's plan. It may seem like it momentarily, but it's never God's best plan. Have you ever ridden a bicycle? How many of you have ever gone on a fairly, you know, like a 5 or 10 mile bicycle trip? I went from Marina to over, all the way over to Pebble Beach. Thank you, baby. You can, she's my daughter. I decided I'm gonna ride a bike. So I got my, I don't know what it was at the time. It was like a 18 or 21 speed bike. And I thought, well, I can do this because, you know, Marina to Carmel, that's just flat riding. Nah, nada. Not so. I get over there, and so I'm riding. I'm riding by myself, and, you know, I thought there's no hills. There was a hill, and I said, well, it's not all that big a hill. I'll just go for it, baby. And by the time I got one quarter of the way up a hill, and I'm already down. Until finally, my feet are going like this. You know, you're riding, it gets down to such a low gear, or high gear, whatever you call it. I guess it's a low gear, that your feet are going up and down, up and down, up and down, and I'm going nowhere. You know, I'm going like this, and it takes me like 5 minutes to go from here to the end of the first section. And I'm going, and I tell you what, I said I couldn't stop. I was worn out. I wanted to quit. Just going, I didn't want to do it by myself. You know, that's what happens when you try to do life alone. When you're going and you're going and you're going and you look around and you're thinking, I'm going for all I'm worth, but I'm not getting anywhere. Listen, I also went to a trip to the Philippines. And in the Philippines, I've never been there before in my life. It was the first trip I ever went on. We're going to have a healing meeting. There are thousands and thousands of Filipino people in the stands, and they're waiting. They're just waiting. And we're trying to get to them. And so we take these things called jeepneys. And we're traveling to get there. And we're in a parade all day. And we're trying to drum up that we need thousands of people to go to this meeting. And so we're trying to drum up interest. And we're ministering as we go. And we're riding in these jeepneys. Now, in the Philippines, the jeepneys, it's basically a van without walls. And yet, there are no EPA standards in the Philippines. So carbon monoxide pours out of every vehicle you can imagine. There are no filters on them. And people, when you go by, they're literally got their claws and handkerchiefs or whatever sitting on the street holding their noses because literally it'll make them sick enough to the point they die. So I'm going here, and I'm in this van all day long, and it's 128,000 degrees in the Philippines. And we were there in the winter. The winter, you know, oh, it has to be God. I was called over there for a purpose, I'm sure. But the Lord made me go is what happened. You know what I'm saying? And so when we get there, I'm traveling all day long. And I'm with people. We're stuffed in that van. And they don't wear deodorant in my group. They forgot it. It didn't get through customs. I don't know what it was. And then we have beans for lunch. So pray for me. I get there and I'm going, can anything good come out of this? We get there. There are thousands of people ready to be healed, literally. Now, listen, there's a lot of people in the Philippines, they can't afford to go to a doctor. And things that we take for granted, they don't have medication for. And so they're literally dying from things that are growing on their necks. What do they call those things, honey? Goiters, you know, because they don't have any iodine and no salt in their system. And literally, it kills them. It grows from the inside out and then back inside, and it kills them. And there's many people that are deaf and lame and can't walk, cannot see. And so we're doing it together, but it's a long, hard road. Listen, doing things together or doing things alone, either way, they're not always convenient. And it's a choice. Say, it's a choice. But say, we're better together. So we do the message, and God is there. And then all of a sudden, it's time to pray for people. And this is what we've been there all week for. And there are thousands of people in the stands. And we're literally going to pray for those that have no other way to get well. And as we're there, the rain begins to fall. Now, in the Philippines, when it rains, it's just not like a little drizzle. We've had a lot of rain here lately for Salinas. It's nothing like that. It can literally drench you, and you can have a creek, river flowing wherever you are, just like that. And the people know that. And many times we've sent thousands and thousands of dollars over there because people are suffering because of flash floods. Now, with that in mind, we're still going to pray for the sick. We see it coming. And so my point is, rather than give up when the things look bad and yet you've got a purpose, rather than give up when things look like you were going to lose everything that you've come to be there for, how many of you know God has a plan? And there is a victory. Is there not a cause? Hallelujah, David said to his brothers. And the truth of Joseph said, listen, you need to understand something. We could have given up. But what we did is we went and found a makeshift tent. I don't even know where we got it, but we started putting our minds together, our hearts together, and we made a makeshift tent. And so the people, when the rains would come, they would stay as long as they knew when they were being prayed for, they could be prayed for in a relative area of safety. And we had people by the thousands, literally by the thousands, roll through that tent. And we saw the lame walk. We saw people who couldn't see, who could see. I laid my hands on a little deaf mute. Hallelujah. His brother was about this tall, and he was about that tall. He was about the size, a little bit bigger than my Braylon. And it would be like Avon was maybe 12 or 13. And it came there, and he says, one spoke English. The other was a deaf mute. He spoke nothing. And he said, will you pray for my brother? He cannot hear. He cannot hear. Cannot speak. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And I no more laid my hands on that baby. See, when you do things together, it brings the anointing from God. There was an anointing there because we refused to be defeated and we worked together. Hallelujah. Fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies, the Bible says. And when I laid my hands on him, he jumped. And I kept praying. I didn't know. I thought, well, he's just sensed God there. And then he jumped some more. I'd say, in Jesus' name. And he would jump. And finally, the little guy, he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, Pastor, you're all pastors, Eric. I mean, you could go and you're a plumber, but you're a pastor when you get there. Pastor. He says, he can hear. How do you know? I said, because he's never heard before and your voice is scaring him. Hallelujah. I said, well, praise God. And all of a sudden I looked up and that tent was drenched and it was pouring down rain. But there we are because we worked together. We saw victory and that baby can hear today. Hallelujah. And he can speak today. Why? Because we're better together. Hallelujah. We were never meant to do Christianity by ourselves. Together is God's plan. Together is God's way. So, Christianity, it's not a bicycle. It's a jeepney. I'm going to let that sink in. It's not a bicycle. It's a jeepney. It's not by yourself. It's together. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Together isn't always easy. It's sometimes messy. It's sometimes inconvenient. But the Bible says you're stronger together. You're protected together. The Bible says to be aware and be on guard because your enemy, as a roaring lion, roams about seeking whom he may devour. Like it unto a lion, roaring. Listen to this. Have you seen the programs? When the lions attack the zebra and it kills it, it's always by itself. Always by itself. You know why a zebra has stripes? Because when the stripes are together, the zebras are together, and they're going together in a herd, the lion can't tell the difference between 1 and 10. He can't recognize one from the other. He just sees a blur, and they're safer together. But when you get separated and isolated, somebody say amen, then you're easy prey for the enemy. I don't care how good you are, how righteous you are, how gifted you are. Yes, you need time alone with the Lord. How many of you know you need the secret place of the Most High God? But it does not mean, the Bible is saying, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in many different fashions. Because truthfully speaking, you're able to do what God wants you to do more ably when you have strength along the way. Somebody say amen. When you get isolated, walls go up. When you get hurt, wounded, walls go up. You're tempted to say, I want to back off. That's the absolute most important time to find the fellowship of the saints. Have you ever noticed that when people get discouraged, when they get hurt, when they get wounded, when they start feeling sorry for themselves, and the next thing they do, you don't see them in church anymore. They don't go to a small group anymore. They don't go to 2SM. They don't go to AE. They drop out of the dream team. And it can be a neighbor that just backs off, and they used to have coffee together. Now they don't. Why? Because when they're isolating themselves, and do they ever get better off because of it? No. The first thing you know, you hear things that you thought you'd never hear. Things happen to them that shouldn't have happened. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When people leave this house out of the will of God, I hear later that their families are destroyed. They lost everything. It started because they bought the lie, I can do this by myself. I'm not trying to be negative. Do you understand what I'm saying? God said things for a purpose. Jesus came so that we could be interconnected, not independent of each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're living in a technological age to where that there are teenagers. They took a survey. They have the average Instagrammer of the teenagers all around the nation have 300 followers, Instagram followers. But when they were asked in a poll of those 300 followers, they only have one friend. And 25% of those that were polled had no friends. And yet we have more cell phones in the world today than we do homes. Three times as many. If you want to know the truth, we've got more cell phones than we have toilets in the world. Now think about that. That's a terrible illustration. But there's two or three in most homes. It's just ridiculous. And yet, we're isolated. Because you have the ability to be together does not mean that you are together. Well, I go to a church. Really? How often are you involved? Well, I go twice a year. That you can be in a crowd of people and still be alone. But you need the fellowship, the koinonia. You need the rubbing shoulders to be together. Together is a choice. Did you know depression is a choice? I am not depressed if I'm depressed and given into depression because of my circumstances. I am depressed because I've chosen to be depressed because of my circumstances. But my circumstances do not dictate my depression. It is what I decide about my circumstances. And let me share something with you. When you come together and you rub shoulders with each other, iron sharpens iron. And rather than dull you, you become more sensitized, sharper than you would be otherwise. Because you know what? The greatest thing that happens when you're together, it changes your conversation. It changes your thinking. And if they can make it, I can make it. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. If nothing else, you identify with the fact that others are going through some of the same things you are. But the difference is, you're not just left by yourself to commiserate over your problems. They're going to come together. And in a godly setting, you always turn it towards what God says about your problems, about your marriage, about your friendship, about your finances. Somebody say amen. We need to repent today, but the repentance needs to be a change of mind, a change of heart. Listen, repentance isn't, you're bad and you're going to get spanked by God. No, repentance means, Lord, I exchange my thoughts for your thoughts. I'm not just sorry I'm in my mess. I want to change my way of thinking, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When your thinking changes, your walk will change. When you walk on God, your system, your circumstances will be what God says they will turn out to be. But I must exchange my thoughts, my feelings, my way of understanding for his way. Somebody say amen. When you get together, you come together, and God begins to give you the opportunity to share with one another. That's what happens in 2SM. That's what happens in AE. That's what happens in Dream Team. That's what happens in WordWorks, for heaven's sakes. If anything goes on at my wife's meetings of WordWorks, it's that she tells you what God says about you. She tells you what God thinks about you. And then you tell each other the good things God's already done. Somebody say amen. One of her favorite things was shut up, speak life. Hallelujah. How many of you know it works? God has sent me friends, Sam, that when I get together with them on a regular basis, I can walk here in the morning and I can be miserable. And when I get through talking to God and I get through talking to you, I'm better than I was. And I go out of here and saying, come on, let's face life together. Changes. I said, things change. Do things change? They will, but your attitude changes before things change. Say, we're better together. Small groups are built around this principle. We need to do life together. Small groups are not Sunday school classes. Are you listening? We're not just there to study curriculum. We're there to do life together. That is God's plan for our lives. I'll never be the same because I have the ability to fraternize with that man's family. I'll never be the same, and I'll always be better off because I have the ability when that lady came into my family. She and I have a relationship. Now my children were young, and now they're older, and now their babies are growing up, and I've got a relationship with their babies. And because I've got a relationship with those babies, you listen to me, I can be miserable. And when I get around those grandkids, when I get through, I'm tired, I'm worn out, but I'm happy. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I can just go in and hug that man's neck and get in here and be miserable. He came for me to mentor him. And by the time we get through and we've talked to each other and we've talked to Jesus and we've talked to the Father and we prayed and we've encouraged each other, when I walk out of here, we're both raising our hands and praising God. Say it, we're better together. There's a married couple in here, and there's a married couple in the other service, and there's a married couple in the next service. And when they start going to a marriage encounter, to the Bible, to a small group, marriage group, I'll get it yet. How many of you know what I'm talking about? To a marriage small group. There it is. The men wouldn't even open their mouths. They absolutely were bound up, and they were there because it was a last resort. In these cases. But they got together with other couples and they found out that their problems are the same as their problems. It may differ here and there, but they've got the same type problems. And then, say then, we apply the principles of God's word. How many of you would love to go to a small group? Don't raise your hand. How many of you would like to go to a small group just so you can find out how God says marriage can be better? And you start applying those principles. But you know what? It's one thing to have the principles. A lot of us already know the principles, but we don't have the motivation to try them. But when I get together with his wife and him and his wife, my wife and him and his wife, and you get together with that couple and this couple, and they're going through the same stuff, we begin to see the change in those men and those women. They wouldn't even hardly look at each other. They certainly wouldn't raise their hand and talk. But by the time they started interacting after 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, some of them were that long, when they got through, those were the men who were leading the family. They were worshiping God. They were saying, you know what? I used to be this way, but now I'm that way. Why? Because when you get together, you find out the lies of the enemy and what they really are. And what's more, you find the truth. And the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Is anybody here this morning that could be honest enough to say, there's some area of my life, financially, maritally, physically, emotionally, soulfully, where I need freedom more than I have? Then it's time to get together. Does it have to be a marriage group? No, you can go to a hiking group. Hallelujah. You may not even say anything spiritual, but when you build relationships. Do you know when this man will pray with me or ask me to pray for him? When I've built a bridge of friendship. And when we hike 5 miles together, we're either going to be friends or we're going to be wore out or both. Amen? I said amen. He's going to share his water with me because I was dumb, said, I don't need it. Or you need to take more water. Going to Half Dome. Anybody ever been to Half Dome? It's a Yosemite. It's one of the tallest peaks there. And we call it Half Dome. If you go there, you're half dumb to go to Half Dome. It's 9 miles up, 9 miles back. And I didn't take enough water. And I mean straight up, a lot of it. You know, it's up and then this and then up. And then you go up some rails. And if you let go of the rails, bye-bye. Heaven. Hallelujah. I'm serious. Last time I went, I was 58 years old. I only went for my son because I wanted to say I went to have done with him. I'm up there. He's already up there. He could care less. I'm sitting there. I'm saying, me and you, Jesus. Me and you, Jesus. Me and you, Jesus. And the Lord gave me strength. I'd have never got up to. I got up to the point where you have to climb those rails. And it's off a slab of rock. And it's thousands of feet up in the air. And so last time I went, my nephews, one was in, Tyler was in front. Dylan was in front of me, pulling me. Because my arms were so tired, I couldn't even hold on to the steel cables anymore. And Tyler, he got the bad end of it. He was on my hind end pushing. And when we got up there, are you listening? When we got up there, I said, okay, boys, I made it. And there's Pastor Randy, and there's Jason, and there's Nick, and there's all the other guys. And I'm sitting there, and I stand up and say, let me go. I go, hey, man, I'm ready to go. Let's go, baby. That's a nice little walk. But I'd never made it if it wasn't for my nephews. I said, I'd have never made it if it wasn't for my nephews pulling, pushing my butt when I didn't have any push left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Say it with your heart. We're better together. I'm better for having walked with you. I'm better for having known you. I'm better for having helped raise you. I'm better. Your mother came in and she says, do you have anything for my girls? She said, we want to come to church, but we want to make sure they're put to use. We healed you, didn't we? Hallelujah. Now she's coming and said, do you have another church that don't use us as much? I say, no, but this is the only church for you right here. Say it, we're better together. When you're together, you're going to learn to love each other and forgive each other. I said, you're going to learn to forgive each other and you're going to learn to love each other. I said, you're going to learn that how you started is not how you're going to end up. Hallelujah. There's a time when I'm down, Johnny's going to minister to me. There's a time when Johnny's down, I'm going to minister to him. There's a time when we're both down and God's going to minister to us both. Hallelujah. But we're never going to give up because when I need it, he's there. When he needs it, I'm there. When we both need it, God is there. Somebody give the Lord a victory clap today. We're better because Jesus is always with us and we're never going to give up on each other. Ever. These last few minutes, let me tell you what you can expect when you try out a small group. Hallelujah. I know there can be anxiety in getting involved in true community and true togetherness in small groups, in AE, in Dream Team. So I want you to know what you can expect the culture, say the culture, to look like when we get together in groups. The culture, what is that? It's the atmosphere. It's the fellowship, the connecting. That is way more important than just curriculum in getting together with people, discovering what their needs are, their friend, gaining their friendships. There's that feeling apart of one another. Look, I visited the small groups that we had, and I can't even tell you all the names of the people that I met, but I know they're still going to church here. And some of the groups that I met in, they're letting us use their facilities. And we're having, it's an ongoing relationship. Somebody say amen. And I know many of their names I would have never known before. Is that important? It is to me. You know what? I have my own small group I'm going to go to. I need a small group. I needed a mentor. I needed a mentor when I was 13 and I had Jim Forbes. I needed a mentor when I was 16. Are you listening? And I had M.F. Corin. I needed a mentor when I got in college, and I had Dr. Dwayne Temple. He was a brother. He not only taught me, he was not only a dean to me, he loaned me his car, and I took my wife out on Backwards Week. That was awesome. He had a brand new, beautiful Buick, and I had, I don't know what you call it, it was like a tricycle on wheels. Is there any other kind of tricycle? But he loaned us that brand new Buick. Remember that? He and Betty. He said, here's, son, say, son, I had a need for a spiritual father. In the middle of trying to serve God with all my heart and all my soul and all my might, in the middle of Bible college, going to school 7 hours and going to work 10 hours every single day, 5 and 6 days a week. She working from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. And we met together on Saturdays just to introduce ourselves to each other. And then we went to church and I led the choir and I led worship and she did everything that she did. And then we came home in the afternoon and in between going to Sunday morning and Sunday night service where I also led worship, then we did our clothes. And a big night out was going to Jack in the Box or having grilled cheese sandwiches with tomato soup. Oh, Shandai. Marriage is good. We had $600 in the bank. We didn't need to work. We just chose to. In 6 months, that money was gone. But I had friends in the middle of that while I was trying to serve God, and things got ugly. And I didn't have money to take my wife out, hardly. And they provided things like that. You don't forget things like that. You don't forget things like that. I have spiritual mentors to this day. God had a plan. God had a plan. I want to use the story of David very quickly. I don't have time. Hallelujah. I got through the introduction. I get something for that, don't I? How many of you like to hear about David next week? Oh, hallelujah. Would someone come to the keys? I'm sorry, baby. Hallelujah. There's my little granddaughter. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about the small groups. While we're waiting for the anointing to come when she starts playing. The Lord has raised up these small groups. There were just a couple small groups, maybe, when we approached this semester. There's been a lot of things happening. A lot of people moved away. And I've had people teach. I said, well, we're going to take a break. But I said, Lord, if you want this to work, you need to do it because I can't do it by myself. And I just gave it to the Lord. And to make a long story short, within just a week to a week and a half, 14, 15 people said, we want to lead a group. All kinds of groups, marriage groups. Bible study groups, men's group, women's group, bilingual groups, hiking groups, other types of activity, crocheting group. You'd be surprised how popular that is in today's culture. And just fellowship. It doesn't matter if you get together and wash dishes. Hello. Yeah, you come over and wash my dishes. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters that you do it together. Let everything that comes out of your mouth be a blessing. When I get to my message, it's going to be this. We need people that will look at me, all one. We need people that will call out the best in each other. We need people that will pray for one another and be there for one another. And we need people that will speak truth to one another. In my life, I have been a David and I have been a Samuel. I know you don't know what that means yet, but David was, God sent relationships to King David. That's what I'll be preaching about. He sent a Samuel. I've been a David. God sent me a Samuel. And then God required me, gave me the opportunity, gave me the privilege of being a Samuel. Pastor Randy Henn calls me his Samuel. Because I saw something in him when no one else saw it, he said. I was just hearing God. But I brought him in and brought him into our fold. Began to raise him up and said, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. In fact, there it is. If you don't get done, it's because you didn't do it. Because I can't do it. That's why you're here. You're going to do it. And he did. And now he pastors a church of thousands. People, when he came, they said, he can't preach. Pastor, you need to preach. He can't preach. Now, they don't ask me to preach. They ask him to preach. You know what? That blesses me. You know why? Because I became a Samuel. I became a father. I was fathered, and now I want a father. How many of you know when your kids grow up and do more than you do, it blesses you? We need each other. We need each other. At a critical time in my life, I had a man who came to me, and he spoke truth. In love to me. I was in the ministry, but I was hurting. And he spoke in love, but he spoke truth. And it saved my life. You can come too late to tell me I could do it all by myself. even when my heart was to serve God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind, I needed the relationship that God was sending me to call out the best in me. Iron sharpens iron. Oh, a friend that will speak truth to you in times of adversity. That's what life is all about. I have been strengthened by knowing this man and his family, and this man and his family. I would not be here if it weren't for these two families. Think about it. Think about it. What are you missing? It's a choice. It's time to change. It's not about attending something. It's about becoming someone. You may be inconvenienced some, and you get tired. Sylvia told me, she says, I come from Watsonville, and I go to Dan and Deb's group. She says, when I'm getting ready to go, sometimes I'm tired. But when I leave, I'm on top of the world because we're better together. Why am I taking this time? Because some of you have been excruciatingly effective at ignoring what God is saying to you, and you have ignored small groups ever since we founded them. But I hear the Lord saying, give them another opportunity because I'm their Father, and I'll never give up on them. And you need the strength that I needed, that he needed, that she needs, that you need, and you need, and you need, because we're better together. Father, I worship you this morning. Lord, I just thank you that your plans are awesome. Your plans are great. Your word never loses its power. And you've called us together to call out the best in each other. Lord, I believe there are Davids in this room. I believe there are Samuels. I believe there are Deborahs in this room. I believe there are Marys. Lord, I worship you. I believe there are Lydias in this group. I believe there are Eunices in this group. I believe with all my heart, Lord, there are Elijahs and Elishas in this group. We're better together. Iron sharpening iron. Let us be inconvenienced. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Let us come together and give that we may be given unto. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I need your love. I need your fellowship. I need your protection. I need your joy. I give my life to you and my trust that you will wash away my sins and bring me to a place of fellowship with you and with my brothers and sisters. I will be made strong. And I'll see the plan that you have for my life come to pass in fullness. And I'll laugh with you as you sit on the throne, because we have together seen the end from the beginning. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a chance and go out in the guest services and pick up one of these papers that have all the different small groups on them. There's so many. There's front and there's back. There's bilingual. There's men's group, women's group. There's couples. There's everything you want. Let God begin to change you and bring you together, fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies. Because, Lord, there's so many things we can do together we could never do by ourselves. So many things we can receive together that we could never receive by ourselves. So many people we can bless together that we could not do by ourselves. Yes, we'll be blessed to minister alone at times, one-on-one with others. But, oh, God, together we can do so much more. We can be so much more. We praise you for it. Would you stand with me all over the building?
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.